Of styling and profiling, our next guest does plenty of that. He is Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram, and he joins us on the Local Beat, which is brought to you by, speaking of styling and profiling, Vandermark Jewelers. If you'd like to style and profile, well, Jim Vandermark and Bob Vandermark and the entire gang down at Vandermark Jewelers, they have a couple of things in mind that just might help you style and profile. Check them out on Broad Street, right across from the hospital here in Elyria. They are a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you'll see why. Dave, an honor and a privilege as always, my friend. How are you?
The honor and privilege is all mine, Bull. And I feel I should make a note to Rocco that it is incumbent upon me to remind you that all puns are intended on this program.
Yeah, you're doggone right they are. They are all 150% intended. Well, Dave, lots to go over this week, and I want to hit on some notes from the Lorain County Commissioners. And, you know, we all know that they were against having a fair this year for all of the safety concerns. They certainly weren't alone in that, but they had some different thoughts on having a junior fair, and I think we all know by now just how important that is for all the kids involved with this. What did the Lorain County Commissioners have to say about how they plan on moving forward with this junior fair?
So obviously all the decisions on the fair are up to the fair board, but the commissioners came out, you know, a couple weeks ago and said, look, we support having a junior fair. We think it's really important that all these students, who have done all these 4-H projects, especially, you know, that they get the recognition that they deserve. This is their time to shine. You know, we feel that's really important in this day and age to give them the recognition that they deserve. But they were very concerned, you know, about having, like, for example, like a senior day at the fair when a lot of seniors are very susceptible to COVID-19. So commissioners came out, you know, a couple weeks ago and said, look, we'd really love to have a junior fair. And the fair board then came out and voted in a very close vote in the days following to say, yeah, we're going to have a junior fair, but the rest of everything else is kind of put on hold for this year at least due to all the restrictions that we have on gathering in large groups and things like that. That was sort of made a moot point by Governor DeWine's decision to say, look, we're going to continue to have junior fair events this year at all fairs in the state of Ohio. We're going to give some money to the fairs to make sure that they can, you know, still hold these junior fair events. And commissioners were right on board with that as well. The other day when they spoke on the 29th, commissioners basically, you know, praised the fair board for holding only junior fair events. They said that Governor DeWine made the right decision. Commissioner Matt Lundy said, it's the perfect way to showcase the junior fair, the projects that the children do. He thanked the fair board. Commissioner Sharon Sweeta was right on board with that as well. Also thanked the fair board for the action they took to support the junior fair, but said it was just too big an obstacle to be able to tackle having a regular, normal fair this year, you know, with all the restrictions, you know, social distancing, masking, trying not to go out unless absolutely necessary, that kind of thing. So commissioners, you know, said the fair board made the right decision, the governor made the right decision in this case, and that's where they landed.
Well, sticking with some more news with the Lorain County Commissioners, no surprise that in the county, you know, some revenues are down a bit from last year. I think that shouldn't be a shock to anyone. However, it seems like sales tax revenues are pretty strong. Any particular reason for that?
Well, this is a really interesting conversation that when you told me that you wanted to talk about that, I put in a call to Craig Snodgrass, the Lorain County Auditor, and Craig and I talked about this, and he said it's kind of interesting that this year, people who haven't really been able to go out and maybe hit up your favorite restaurant, hit up your favorite bar, or go on vacation again due to COVID-19. There's a lot of things that you can't do or you can't do as frequently with all the issues that we're facing in the face of this pandemic. Now, that being said, some folks have received unemployment checks or the stimulus checks from the federal government, and $1,200 might be the difference between, say, putting a new floor in the kitchen or not doing that and waiting until next year to do it. So Craig Snodgrass and I talked about that a little bit. And he said he's had discussions with folks from Lowe's, from Home Depot, other home improvement stores, you know, Ace Hardware and folks like that. And they've said that a lot more people, because they're stuck at home, either working from home or not working, or they have furlough days, are deciding to spend a lot more money on home improvement. You know, it's very much like a couple years ago when the housing market was down. And if you were thinking about selling your house, there wasn't really a great opportunity to do that. So instead, maybe you put a deck on the back like you've always wanted to. You know, you spend a little bit more money on that. Your property value goes up, you know, better resale value. You know, you turn that third bedroom into a nursery if you're expecting a child, or you do things at home. You change up the home to make it better for going on the market in the future. And Craig basically said that, you know, a lot of people seem to be spending money on home improvement projects that otherwise might have gone towards a Disney World vacation, or towards going up to Geneva on the lake, or hitting Put-in Bay, you know, for the opening days of the year, or the closing days of the year, you know, the season. So people are still spending money at a rapid rate. It's just that the sales tax might not be coming from, say, you know, your favorite restaurant, or again, you know, your favorite bar. It's coming from other places. And he said basically the money that the county has received, in July alone outpaced July 2019, the sales tax receipts. And he said to not necessarily maybe quote him on this, but things are looking really good for August as well. That the very early returns for the, you know, we're barely a week in, but things are looking to be on pace in August to have an increase of a percentage increase in single digits for sales tax receipts. So people are continuing to spend money. You know, maybe some of that is by shopping online. Maybe some of that is only going out and getting more groceries than you would normally get, so you don't have to go as many times, during a week, going once a week or once every 2 weeks, but buying more. So sales tax receipts are actually up this year. Now, that being said, casino revenues are way down as the casinos had to close due to COVID-19. And some of the investment income in the county is down considerably, about a third of what was collected last year due to the state of the economy. The economy was, you know, significantly better when COVID wasn't around. So it's interesting that money would actually, you know, there'd be more receipts on sales tax, you know, despite a lot of places having to close down for weeks to clean or to change around the floor profile and change things around so that they could serve not as many customers.
Well, casinos closing down, certainly not beneficial for the economy, but certainly beneficial for those such as myself who tend to walk out of there with lighter pockets. moving right along here, shifting gears, Dave O'Brien, our guest from the Chronicle-Telegram, is on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. August has been declared Child Support Awareness Month. Dave, what's all involved with this process?
So this is another kind of interesting tidbit. It is Child Support Awareness Month in the month of August in Lorain County. Tomorrow is Wear Green Day for Child Support Awareness. And while it's been a really difficult year for everybody, as we've discussed, the past couple of shows, it has also been a year where, you know, the child support staffers have had to kind of work around and figure out ways to work from home. The county's child support enforcement agency is actually on track to exceed performance by the end of the fiscal year. They've had more collections, but they've also given people who owe child support to their children, you know, some additional chances to maybe, you know, pay down their debts and pay what they owe to their children. They're not taking as many people's driver's licenses as they used to, so that people can still drive to work, or if they're under a court order, can still still have the driving privileges that the judge has ordered for them. So it's one of those things where they're trying to bring more awareness to to child support, paying your child support, supporting children who maybe are in homes of separated or divorced parents, that kind of thing. And basically just saying that, hey, this is still something that has to go on. This is still business as usual. with some changes during, you know, a worldwide pandemic.
Shifting gears away from the Lorain County Commissioners and focusing on a gentleman that, boy, has been involved in some heinous crimes. A gentleman named Samuel Legg, and I know you've done some stories on some crazy things that he's been involved with. I know he popped back up in the news again over the weekend and late last week. What can you tell us about this gentleman and the heinous crimes that he has been a part of?
Well, Samuel Legg is a gentleman who is currently charged in both Mahoning County and Medina County, as well as, I believe, in Arizona, and then also now in Illinois, with some murder and sexual assault charges. He has now been accused of a 1997 murder in Illinois. He is a former Elyria resident, who some people may know as was the stepfather of the murdered girl Angela Hicks, Angie Hicks, who was found dead up by Midway Mall in 1990. Legg is still basically the prime suspect in that case, even though he has not been charged. But family members and friends of the murdered girl, of Angie Hicks, believe very strongly and have been very vocal that they believe that Mr. Legg was involved in that. Now, he's currently behind bars, again, facing charges in several states, regarding some things that he's accused of doing over basically the past 30 years across the nation. And he was a long-haul trucker. So that gave him some opportunities to go out into the country and basically, you know, make his way across the nation and potentially, you know, commit these alleged, you know, these crimes of which he's accused. So what's happened now is that he still remains charged with a sexual assault, with a rape in Medina County. He is charged again in Mahoning County with a murder that happened near a truck stop out there. And then also the Lake County State's Attorney's Office in Illinois has charged him with two counts of first-degree murder related to a woman's death. Julie Conkle was found strangled in 1997 in Illinois, and her case was cold for about 9 years until a DNA hit tied Legg to that particular murder, according to authorities. So again, you know, he's also charged in Wood County with a crime out there as well. So we're going to continue to follow this case and see if something pops on the Angela Hicks homicide from, again, 30 years ago. But family and friends have been on the authorities for years to try to tie him to Angie's murder, and we'll see what happens. But right now he's not going anywhere.
All right, Dave. Well, before we wrap things up this week, we want to know what you heard on the scanner over the last 6 or 7 days. What kinds of goodies do you have for us as far as the scanner stories are concerned?
Well, Bull, I'm going to give you one that was found again from our friends at NeoScan, also at NeoScan on Twitter, shared out by my colleague. Everybody knows Bruce Bishop, and Bruce tweeted out the other day from the scanner: ambulance dispatched for a 21-year-old female with a nose ring stuck in her esophagus. # just say nose.
Wow. Well, that sounds like an awful painful way to have that happen. That's, oh boy.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine that?
No. No, I can't. Oh, man.
Yeah, a nose ring isn't exactly something you can just cough up, can you?
I don't know. One, but just, you got to be careful of that one real just deep inhale. You know, she's regretting just that, taking that one breath.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's just...
That's a story that takes your breath away right there.
Ooh, yes, it does. See?
Unintended.
That one was intentional. That. Intentional foul.
He has learned well. He has learned well, I must say. Dave, thank you as always for the insight. We always appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to doing this again next week, my friend.
Absolutely. Stay safe out there, Jen.
Thank you, Dave. You do the same. Again, that's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on the local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. You can stop by or you can visit them online. They're at vandermarkjewelers.com. That's vandermarkjewelers.com. Stop by the showroom here in Elyria on Broad Street right across from the hospital. And when you stop by Vandermark Jewelers, you'll understand why they are a trusted name in jewelry.